reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, called Remembrance of Lord Krishna, Text 8. Durbhago bhata lokoyam, yadavo nitaram api, ye samvasanto na vidur, harimina ivodupam. Durbhaga, unfortunate. Bhata, certainly. Lokaha, universe. Ayam, this. Yadavaha, the Yadu dynasty. Nitaram, more specifically. Api, also. Ye, those. Samvasantaha, living together. Na, did not. Viduhu, understand. Harim, the personality of Godhead. Meenaha, the fishes. Iva udupam, like the moon. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This universe, please repeat, this universe, with all its planets, is most unfortunate. And even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty, because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead any more than the fish could identify the moon. This universe with all its planets is most unfortunate, and even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty, because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead any more than the fish could identify the moon. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Uddhava lamented for the unfortunate persons of the world who could not recognize Lord Sri Krishna in spite of seeing all his transcendental godly qualities. From the very beginning of his appearance within the prison bars of King Kamsa up to his Mausala Leela, although he exhibited his potencies as the personality of Godhead in the six opulences of wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, the foolish persons of the world could not understand that he was the Supreme Lord. Foolish persons might have thought him an extraordinary historic figure because they had no intimate touch with the Lord. But more unfortunate were the family members of the Lord, the members of the Yadu dynasty, who were always in company with the Lord, but were unable to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Uddhava lamented his own fortune also, because although he knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not properly use the opportunity to render devotional service to the Lord. He regretted everyone's misfortune, including his own. The pure devotee of the Lord thinks himself most unfortunate. That is due to excessive love for the Lord and is one of the transcendental perceptions of viraha, the suffering of separation. It is learned from the revealed scriptures that the moon was born from the milk ocean. There is a milk ocean in the upper planets, and there Lord Vishnu, who controls the heart of every living being as Paramatma, the Supersoul, resides as the Shirodaya Kashaya Vishnu. Those who do not believe in the existence of the ocean of milk because they have experience only of the salty water in the ocean should know that the world is also called the go, which means the cow. The urine of a cow is salty, and according to Ayurvedic medicine, the cow's urine is very effective in treating patients suffering from liver trouble. Such patients may not have any experience of the cow's milk, because milk is never given to liver patients. But the liver patient may know that the cow has milk also, although he has never tasted it. Similarly, men who have experience only of this tiny planet, where the salt water ocean exists, may take information from the revealed scriptures that there is also an ocean of milk, although we have never seen it. From this ocean of milk, the moon was born. But the fish in the milk ocean could not recognize that the moon was not another fish and was different from them. The fish took the moon to be one of them, or maybe something illuminating, but nothing more. The unfortunate persons who do not recognize Lord Krishna are like such fish. They take him to be one of them, although a little extraordinary in opulence, strength, etc. The Bhagavad Gita 9.11 confirms such foolish persons to be most unfortunate. Avajananti mam muda manusim tanum ashritam. O magyana timirandasya jananjana shalakaya chakshurun minitam yena tasmai sri guru nama sri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantika. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadara, Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation. This universe with all its planets is most unfortunate, and even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty, because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead any more than the fish could identify the moon. Hare Krishna. So, this is a very moving verse, very moving, sorrowful part of Bhagavatam in a sense. But before this, to appreciate this verse, I think I would like to do some justice to backtrack to beginning of Canto 3 and do a quick summary to bring it up to this point. So, Canto 3 begins with, as we know, Shonaka Rishi, head of these sages at Naimasharanya, he's actually asking Suta Goswami how Vidura actually came to leave home. And then also asking about topics like what did he actually do, what were his activities when he was on pilgrimage. And then questions like what did he actually inquire from Maitreya Muni? And in reply, what did Maitreya Muni actually answer? So they found these questions to be more relevant, because in Canto 2 there was a lot about the creation and all that. Now they're coming back to asking about these pastimes of the devotees of the Lord. And Suta Goswami actually answers that exactly as how Shukadeva Goswami actually answered Parikshit Maharaj. And we know in the Mahabharata where the point, it's at a point where it's in Hastinapur, the Pandavas actually come back from their exile and they are in the palace of Dhritarashtra, they are asking for their rightful share of the kingdom. They have done their service and all that, they have come back, gone through all their trials and tribulations. And Dhritarashtra is sitting on the throne, of course, refuses. And then the Pandavas compromise and say, okay, at least give us our 5 villages. And that is also refused. And he and his son Duryodhan, they actually say that they would not give as much land as to even hold the tip of a pin. You know how minute the tip of a pin is. If you poke it into land, and that's how stingy they are. They're not even wanting to give that bit of land. Okay. And at this point, even Krishna got involved. He tried to be the peacemaker and tried to reconcile, couldn't. So Dhritarashtra then calls Vidura, knowing that Vidura is like a saintly person, thinking that Vidura would give some answer that he would be palatable, that he's expecting. But Vidura, like a sadhu is one who cuts knots, he just bluntly told him, do the right thing. Give their share of the kingdom. They have done their penance and all that, so give their rightful share. But, and then he also says, why do you want to actually listen to your son Duryodhan, who is offense personified? Here is offense personified, and it's like really, he's making his own father, Dhritarashtra, devoid of all auspiciousness. And then he says, you can't win this. Krishna is on their side, and it's like, you know, Bhima, how fierce he is, he's going to destroy your, all your 100 sons are going to go. So, for your own sake now, give their rightful share. Duryodhan, hearing all this, and of course he, with his lips trembling in anger, in rage, hurls very abusive, hurtful words at Vidura. The son of a kept mistress, blah, 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 and it's like very, very hurtful. So these hurtful words pierce the heart of Vidura to the extent that he takes this as an arrangement of the Lord to actually quit the palace and all the palace association. So he then says, okay, in fact, Prabhupada writes, in that one episode, one instance, the Lord is actually displaying his internal energy where Vidura is actually being liberated from the political affairs of the palace, from his family connections, to start his journey of devotional service. And at the same time, Duryodhan, through the material energy, is going to bear his consequences. So Vidura then, taking this as a good omen from the Lord, taking this as an opportunity to actually purify himself and to get closer to the Lord, he leaves the bow at the door of the palace and walks out. He walks out, he goes on pilgrimage. He goes on pilgrimage for about 30, 35 years, going all over the holy places, holy Tirtha. And when he comes to Prabhash Kshetra, he hears the sorrowful news of the Lord having departed and the Yadu dynasty having been annihilated. He continues with his pilgrimage, goes on purifying himself, and he goes alone. He goes alone because when we go on pilgrimage alone, when you don't have company, then you don't have someone to prajalpa. You actually focus on the Lord, you remember the Lord, it's a total dependence on Lord, total surrender, you're just totally depending on God, going alone. So he travels alone all these places, and finally he comes to the bank of River Yamuna, where he meets Uddhava. Seeing Uddhava to him is a very happy moment. He runs, embraces Uddhava affectionately. Why? Because Uddhava was actually in Dwaraka, but Vidura, when he was doing all the pilgrimage, even though he went to Dwaraka, he did not get the opportunity to actually associate with Uddhava. And now, seeing him on the bank of the river Yamuna, he sees these as blessings of the Lord and gives a welcome embrace. But how did Uddhava get to be on the bank of river Yamuna? So, backtracking, Uddhava's journey so far to that point of river Yamuna starts with him back at Dwaraka, where the Lord, Lord Krishna, is actually king of Dwaraka now. He is in his family duties with his 16,108 wives. 16,108. We struggle with one. Yeah. Yeah. And each of them having their own palace, and he is simultaneously associating with them. And he's got millions of his family members, the Yadu dynasty. And it's at a point where Krishna is going to commence his Mausala Leela, the last phase of his departure. So he then calls Uddhava and says, you go to Badrik Ashram. Now is the time for you to actually leave me, you go. Because over there in Badrik Ashram, you've got, there is Nara Narayanin Rishi and the devotees over there. You go associate with them. Because it's better for you to go, because things are not going to be so good from here on. He he needed Uddhava to remain to actually preach the philosophy and give devotional instructions in his absence. So the Lord was preparing to depart. Uddhava starts, okay, he is obedient, he starts the journey. He starts the journey and then out of total grief, he comes back to Dwaraka, hoping to get the association of Lord Krishna again. But when he comes back, the Lord is no longer there. Lord Krishna has left Dwaraka. He's finished his family duties, his family life and all that. And Krishna has actually done all the pastimes of the fratricidal war with the Yadu dynasty. They've all like departed. And Lord Balaram himself, having sat on the shores of the ocean, meditating on the Lord, he himself has departed. And finally, is the Lord remaining? So, he comes back and Uddhava cannot find the Lord anywhere. The Lord is actually now, finally, deep in the forest of Vrindavan already. So, Uddhava goes looking for him from Dwaraka to Vrindavan, quite a journey. Quite difficult to find, but somehow by the arrangement of the Lord himself, Uddhava finds him deep in the forest of Vrindavan, and Uddhava is happy to see the Lord. Straight away he sees the Lord. Actually the Lord is resting against a young banyan tree. He's seated with his back against the banyan tree and his right foot actually resting on the left thigh. The Lord is looking very peaceful, blackish in color, wearing yellow garments. And Uddhava comes, pays dandavat pranams. He's happy to see his Lord again. He sits down to receive instructions and associate with the Lord. And at that same time, Maitreya Muni also walks up. Again, by the Lord's arrangement, Maitreya Muni also arrives. And so imagine the Lord is seated there and the two of them are seated in front of the Lord, Uddhava and Maitreya Muni. So the Lord then gives Uddhava very confidential instructions. Imagine this, he's talking to Uddhava, Maitreya Muni is listening. And there's a reason why he's only talking to Uddhava, because Uddhava is spotless pure devotee. Whereas Maitreya Muni at that time is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. He's still mixed in devotion. But that talking of giving all the instructions to, the confidential instructions to Uddhava, also purifies Maitreya Muni. He becomes a pure devotee as well. So he gives them, he talks Uddhava Gita to Uddhava. This is actually documented in Canto 11, chapters 7 to 29. Uddhava Gita. And then he gives instruction to Uddhava. He says, you go to Badrik Ashram as my original instruction. Over there, Nara Narayan Rishi and his devotees are there. You go there and tell them that I have sent you as my representative to give association to them. Because in the 125 years that the Lord actually had his pastimes, his Leela on the face of the earth, he associated with many, many inhabitants. He came down to associate with his devotees. In Bhagavad Gita 4.8, we know the verse there, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Shad Duskritam Dharma Samstapanataya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. Okay. He comes to deliver the pious, okay, annihilate the miscreants, okay, to re-establish religious principles. Millennium after millennium. So, with that promise, he came, but there was this group of devotees in Badrik Ashram where he had not given the association. He had traveled even to the heavenly planets to go and bring the Parijata tree for Satyabhama, and then he has even traveled to the planets down to go and bring back his guru Sandipani Muni's sons, deceased sons. But while he did all this, he gave all these associations, there's this group of devotees at Badrik Ashram where he has not given his association. So he sends Uddhava as his representative. Uddhava is as handsome as Krishna himself. He resembles Krishna. So with that, Uddhava now, his grief, his sorrow is growing. It's very intense. He already knows the Lord is going to depart. And here he is forced to actually, not forced, he is actually teaching us how to obey the Lord's instructions even in a moment of distress like that. So he circumambulates the Lord and he departs to on his journey to Badrik Ashram. And while on his journey, of course, this is where he comes to the bank of the river Yamuna, and this meeting with Vidura takes place. So these two pure elevated souls, they are meeting in contrasting fashions here. In chapter 2 of this canto, we heard there were a series of questions from Vidura to Maitreya Muni, to Uddhava, asking him about the Yadu dynasty. And it's quite strange where in Prabhaschetra he had already heard about the news of the Lord and his associates, his family all gone. But here again he's asking. It's like Prabhupada writes, he's like seeking confirmation. It's like in a state of shock, where sometimes we have our dear departed ones or we hear bad news. Okay, we try to get confirmation of the bad news from someone who is closer to the source of the information. And there's also this etiquette of respect, where you don't run up to a person and just break the bad news. Okay, so he is like asking the questions in a way which will prompt Uddhava to actually reveal the news. And Uddhava, while Vidura is asking all these questions, he enters this intense ecstasy of separation from the Lord. Krishna actually left in the morning. And here, right in the evening, is this association, this dialogue with Vidura and Uddhava. And we heard yesterday in chapter, in text 7, Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Vidura, the sun of the world, Lord Krishna, has set, and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare?" Sorrowful, broken-hearted, feeling of anguish. The Lord has just departed. It's so fresh, early in the morning, and now here, he has to remember this. In this intense remembrance of separation, he feels ecstasy. He feels ecstasy, and while his body is in front of Vidura, he is actually associating on the spiritual plane with Lord Krishna. So, Prabhupada says, for a pure devotee, whether he is situated on the spiritual world or whether he is situated on the material plane, he is always associating with the Lord, with Lord Krishna. There is no separation, there is no... So in fact, it's like he obeyed the instructions of the Lord to go to Badrik Ashram. He was obedient and he is now, he has taken the instructions and he is displaying how Vani Seva is as good as Bapu Seva. So in Vani Seva, a pure devotee, as long as he is executing the order of the Lord, he is never separated from directly associating with the Lord. And Prabhupada actually displayed this. Prabhupada also, as we know, was always, while he was on this material plane, he was always having his nectarian pastimes with the Lord. In fact, on the notice board out there, if you go and see, we've got this about Melbourne Temple, where Prabhupada actually says, as long, whether you are situated on the material plane or on the spiritual plane, as long as you allow yourself to be enjoyed by Krishna, you engage in service, then you are already pleasing the Lord. And it is a spiritual tirtha. So he says this Melbourne temple is not Melbourne. He says it is Vrindavan. Okay. So, and in fact, Prabhupada also teaches us how to actually remember Krishna in separation. And I can only do justice to what Prabhupada said there by reading out this text verbatim. See, after a lecture given in Montreal in August 1968, Srila Prabhupada spoke in a wonderful way about overcoming separation. This is to a devotee called Rukmini. She's asked, she's making this comment. She's saying, I feel so far away from you when you're not here. This is Rukmini to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada answers in this beautiful, amazing way as to how we can still engage in Vani Seva and remember the Lord or the pure devotees. Here's his answer. Oh, that you should not think. There are two conceptions, the physical conception and the vibration conception. So the physical conception is temporary and the vibration conception is eternal. Just like we are relishing the vibration of Krishna's teachings, so by vibration he is present. As soon as we chant Hare Krishna or chant Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, he is present immediately by his vibration. He is absolute. Therefore, try to remember his words of instructions and you'll not feel separation. You'll feel that he is with you. So, we should associate by the vibration and not by the physical presence. That is real association by sound. We are touching Krishna immediately by sound vibration. So, we should give more stress on the sound vibration either of Krishna or of the spiritual master. Then, we'll feel happy and no separation. When Krishna departed from this world, at that time Arjuna was overwhelmed with sorrow and he began to remember the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. You'll find this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He immediately began to remember the teachings that were taught to him in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Then he was pacified. Arjuna was his constant friend. So when Krishna went to his abode, he was feeling overwhelmed. But he began to remember his teaching. So whenever we shall feel separation, the best thing is to remember the teachings. Then it will be very nice. Is that clear? Yes. So you can chant Hare Krishna. This is Prabhupada's response. So Uddhava, in that intense mood of separation, while hearing all these inquiries from Vidura, he comes back to the normal plane and it brings us to him speaking, like saying setting of the sun, and it brings us to the verse today where we are saying, he's saying, the Yadus were all experienced, the universe with all its planets is most unfortunate, and even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead any more than the fish could identify the moon. The first line of the purport itself, Prabhupada is revealing his pure devotee qualities. Uddhava, not Prabhupada. Uddhava lamented for the unfortunate persons of the world who could not recognize Lord Sri Krishna in spite of seeing all his transcendental godly qualities. It's actually amazing where, if you imagine you got this pure soul, spotlessly pure devotee who is feeling this intense separation of associating with the Lord, and he is lamenting not for himself, he is lamenting for the others who do not actually recognize the Lord. We cannot even imagine this. We cannot even relate to it. Think about it. When we have some unfortunate event in the family where we have someone departing, what do we think of? It's like, oh, you have left me. Oh, it's like, I can't do this anymore. Oh, I can't. So there's no one to actually drive me to the market. Petty. It's all about us. But here, God has left. God has departed after his 125 years of Leela. And the last person to see him, Uddhava, so fresh in his mood of separation, so fresh after that incident, is not thinking about him, he's not lamenting for himself, he's lamenting for others in the world. And he's saying, unfortunate persons of the world who could not recognize Lord Sri Krishna in spite of seeing all his transcendental godly qualities. This is the very same Lord who in his Pavanda Lila, his childhood pastimes, he lifted Govardhan Hill with his little pinky finger. This is the Lord who actually had wonderful nectarian enchanting pastimes with the Brajavasis, stealing their butter, getting his monkey army to join him. And this is the Lord who had his wonderful cowherd pastimes with his cowherd friends. This is the Lord who actually has his wonderful nectarian pastimes with the gopis. He is Bhagavan. His Swarup is that, he is that Tribhanga Shamasundar form, the cowherd boy with the flute in, with holding, he is holding the flute. But this Lord is no longer around, and Uddhava is feeling this separation, not, and he is also lamenting for the people who are not recognizing the Lord for what he is, for Bhagavan. God can be realized in three aspects. What are the three aspects? Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Okay. And yet, who declared? Brahma Samhita 5.1, Lord Brahma declared, Krishna is Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adi Govinda Sarva Karana, cause of all causes. Everything is coming from Lord Krishna. Even a blade of grass, for it to move, it has to be sanctioned by the Lord. And here, so we've got Bhagavan realization, so he is in that feature of eternal full knowledge and bliss, complete. Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Then we have got the impersonalists, the Mayavadis, who just think, merge into everything and we are done. We are spirit souls, our life ends, we go and merge, and then we are there eternally connected with Brahma Jyoti, and that's it, that's where we end up. So can you imagine the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they end up there and they are in their, the soul is like, they just seated still, no activity, no service, looking at other souls there, other impersonalists, how are you going? How are you doing? Brahma Jyoti like that. There's no rasa, no relationship. That is impersonal realization. Then in between impersonal realization and Bhagavan realization, we have Paramatma realization, where he is seen as the all-powerful, pervading super soul. Queen Kunti, resident of a member of the Yadu dynasty in Canto 1, she actually is bewildered because she sees Krishna as Paramatma, the all-pervading super soul. She is bewildered. She is saying, this all-powerful person who is responsible for creation, maintenance, and annihilation of all of creation, he is also powerful. The very sun which set is also controlled by him. And how is it that he is running in fear of Mother Yashoda holding a whipping stick? She is bewildered because her realization of Lord Sri Krishna is Paramatma realization. And here, Uddhava actually says that but more unfortunate were the family members of the Lord, the members of the Yadu dynasty, who were always in company with the Lord but were unable to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna's family members, millions, they all saw him as Paramatma, super soul, all-pervading Paramatma. And there is this difference in the mood of associating with Krishna as all-pervading Paramatma compared to the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Residents of Vrindavan are absorbed in spontaneous, unalloyed devotion all the time. It's an unconventional mood that we can never understand. And Uddhava, actually Krishna wanted Uddhava to experience a little bit of this Vrindavan Ras. Uddhava is actually a member of the Yadu dynasty, resident of Dwaraka. And he too was relating with Krishna as Paramatma. But through the causeless mercy of the Lord, Krishna actually gave Uddhava the opportunity to enter Vrindavan and experience the mood of the Prajavasis, the devotees there. And how was this arranged? What did he do? Krishna actually gave Uddhava a letter saying what? Go tell the residents that I'll come back. Okay? That is to pacify them. Go tell them. And Uddhava, when he enters Vrindavan, he sees a different mood altogether. The mood of, actually, they are thinking, the Vrindavan residents are thinking that Krishna is there, that Krishna is the object of love. Is they're always thinking of Krishna in everything that they do, but Krishna is outside of Vrindavan. At the same time, he's also internally, inside, the Acharyas say he never leaves Vrindavan. So they are always associating, in Vrindavan, they're always associating with Lord Krishna. And Uddhava witnessed this. There's nothing higher than the love the Prajavasis have for Krishna, the gopis have for Krishna. And so he's got this distinction of the two moons. And he says here, that's why they are so fortunate, because the Yadu dynasty members, they were all associating with Krishna, but they didn't see this. They saw him in a different mood of super soul. And in fact, it will be covered tomorrow in tomorrow's verse, which is the distinction between these two moons. And he was also, Uddhava also feeling very sad for himself to an extent, because he has got this distinction, this knowledge of these different moods of that in Vrindavan and here of this all-pervading Paramatma realization that he was witnessing from the Yadu dynasty members. And he was feeling sorry. He was feeling sorry for the members. So they couldn't recognize him for Bhagavan. And so Prabhupada makes this comparison where he says, they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead any more than the fish could identify the moon. Fish could identify the moon. So then he talks about this milk ocean where there are fish in the milk ocean. Okay. And who resides there? Shirodaya Kashaya Vishnu. Shiro means milk. So it's Shira. Shirodaya Kashaya milk. So he, Shirodaya Kashaya Vishnu. So he's controlling, he's residing in the milk ocean, and the moon is actually born in the milk ocean. But the fish in the milk ocean see the moon as just another big fish. And they take him for granted. He's just another big fish, just like one of us. Okay. But the moon is different. So Prabhupada is making the point here that we take Krishna for granted sometimes in our lives. We can imagine that we have gone through many, many, many lifetimes of, actually we have wasted many, many lifetimes of opportunities of doing devotional service. And somehow, by the causeless mercy of the Lord, in this lifetime, we have got the opportunity to do devotional service. It's only the causeless mercy of the Lord. But we take, sometimes there is this risk that devotees take our position for granted. Imagine this, we enter the temple room, okay, we pay obeisance to Prabhupada, we go to the altar, you know, they're looking, what color dress are they wearing, you know, very nice, very beautiful. The question is, who dressed the deities today? Okay. It's not about thinking about the Lord, it's like, who dressed the deities today? They're looking very beautiful. And then here, we got to compare our fortune. We're talking about how fortunate we are in the fortune and misfortune. We got to think about how fortunate we are and the risk of taking Krishna's presence in Kali Yuga for granted. We are so fortunate, the very same Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, who was overburdened with the demonic king's military presence on her surface, she took the form of a cow. She went to Lord Brahma. She cried, shed tears. Okay, and Lord Brahma, Mother Cow, Bhumi Devi, and the demigods, they prayed on the shores of the milk ocean for who to take birth? For Lord Krishna to take birth. She cried. And Krishna answered her prayers and blessed her with 125 years of presence on her surface, leaving his lotus footprints on her surface, bringing down Goloka Vrindavan onto her surface. Okay? And that same Vrindavan is today here for us. We, with the good fortune of Radharani and Lord Shiva, we get the permission to enter Vrindavan. Okay, we go, but sometimes we do not go with the right mood. We go for parikram, but the first place we do parikram is Roy Bazaar. In Vrindavan. We take our fortune for granted. We do temple service here. Okay. In fact, Anuruddha Prabhu, actually, I think it was last week where he mentioned in his class, not just the altar here is, not just the temple room here is a place where we should maintain right consciousness. Even the kitchen, when we enter the kitchen too, our consciousness should be remembrance of Krishna, as this chapter is titled Remembrance of Lord Krishna. So the mood of we doing our service should be always remembering Lord Krishna. Because in the overall scheme of things, we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. Nothing compared to Uddhava, nothing compared to Vidura, nothing compared to the pure devotees. We are nothing. And I got a wonderful lesson in this thing about we are nothing. Actually, I tell a short story. I think it was about 3 years ago, I went to, or rather by Anuruddha Prabhu's arrangement, went to New Govardhan for a meeting there. It was ISKCON's annual general meeting there, so it was my first time ever to New Govardhan. I had never been there. Okay, and going for the meeting, there were many, many Maharajas. And you see, New Govardhan, you have a lot of senior devotees, Prabhupada devotees and all that. It's like, you know, another Tirtha where you get to associate with them. It was like being such in awe. It was an amazing experience. It's a very humbling experience being in the association of such exalted devotees in New Govardhan. So I was minding my own business, just absorbing the atmosphere. It was Guru Puja time, morning in the temple room. So everybody was queuing up to go offer flowers to Prabhupada, pay obeisances and all that. And there was this Prabhu holding, just like over here, holding a basket of flowers offering to everybody to offer to Prabhupada. And on that basket was a garland, another garland. So people were in queue. I was in queue. I came up to the queue, my turn. And Prabhupada was already wearing a garland at that time. And here was another garland where this Prabhu was saying. So when my turn came, he gave me some flowers, loose flowers. And then he said, Prabhu, put this garland for Prabhupada. Then I didn't do it because of I really felt it was not my place to do it in the company of so many people, so many exalted senior devotees. I didn't do it. Okay. So I walked up to Prabhupada, offered the flowers, paid my obeisances. I turned back. I caught the attention of this Mataji. At that time, I didn't know who she was. Sadbuch Prabhu's wife. I don't know her name. Sadbuch Prabhu's wife. She caught my attention with stern eyes. Hari Bhakti? Yeah. And I hear that she is a really full-on person. Right? She caught my attention and she said, "That was your service. You didn't do your service." Relax. Mataji, I didn't feel qualified. She snapped back. She said, "Whether qualified or not, that was your service. You are not anything. You are nothing. You should have done your service." Gee, what did I do? Crime of the century. God, she was very powerful. And it's like my first time ever to New Govardhan. It's like absorbing the atmosphere and it's like bang, it hits me. What's going on here? And I feel like, oh, I committed some big offense here. So it's like sending the message how strong they were, the senior devotees, is like attached to doing your service, you do it. We are nothing. Okay, and they've got so much of.
Did you put the
garland? No. Yeah. I didn't. Actually, okay, I'll finish up the story. This is the second part to it. I didn't because that Prabhu, that garland was actually for the Bhagavatam speaker. Not for Prabhupada. Prabhupada was already wearing a garland. This, after the class was all over, the same Hari Bhakti Mataji, she walked out. She had the courtesy and the humility and the respect for me, nothing, to walk out. She had found out that that second garland was actually for the Bhagavatam speaker. And she came and apologized. She said, "I'm sorry. But I didn't think I deserved that apology. I enjoyed the chastisement." Okay. It made me a little bit more humble. But here was this senior person, having realized that she had made the mistake, she waited for the whole Bhagavatam class to be over. She comes out, singles me out, and then she apologizes. What do we learn? We learn about respect. So here, like that, there's no point if we come to the temple, we just pay obeisance to the Lord, enjoy the beautiful appearance of the deities and all that, when we do not see that there is a Paramatma in every living entity, and if we fail to respect the other conditioned souls that we are associating with, then we are absolutely nothing. So, all I can conclude with is to request everyone to actually think about the good fortune that we are having as devotees. Getting a human body is rare itself. Being born on planet Earth is also another rare feature. Why? Because there are only two planets in this creation, in this universe, where we can directly go back to Godhead. One is Brahma Loka, the other one is Earth. So, we got a human body. Out of the 8.4 million species of life, in this lifetime we got a human body. We are on planet Earth, the very planet that Krishna walked the surface. Not once, he came back as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to enact his Gauralila pastimes. So, she was blessed twice. And here we are, having more fortune than her, having a human body, being engaged in Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, on planet Earth. We just need to meditate how fortunate we are. On the spiritual plane, any misfortune is also good fortune. Any fortune is also good fortune. On the material plane, any good fortune is misfortune. Any misfortune is definitely misfortune. Think about, compare us with the millions out there. How unfortunate that they are not here. They are not having this association with devotees. They are not actually devotees yet. Think about how fortunate we are being in the Hare Krishna movement. So do we keep this good fortune to ourselves? Or do we actually participate? The Lord descended to propagate the Sankirtan movement as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So do we actually participate to take this good fortune and share it with others? And how do we share it? First, we got to be good examples of as to how we should become good devotees. First, we lead by example to share the good fortune. Kali Yuga may be a fallen age. Oh, it is a fallen age. But in this fallen age, think about it. Our unique position, our fortunate position. Not only that, the Lord Himself has descended in His holy name. The holy name is not different from the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So He's descended in the form of His holy name, and we are having the causeless mercy of being able to chant His holy name. How fortunate is that? I'd like to leave you with that. Any questions, comments? Hare Krishna. Is the chronological sequence as to when this pastime happened. Gopurvindra Prabhu, you want to, you know that? As to when this intimate association between Lord Krishna and Uddhava actually took place, as to when he had left, the question is whether he was, when he was in Vrindavan or left Vrindavan? Yeah, after he had left Vrindavan, or when he was in Mathura, or when he was in Dwaraka. Okay. So where was this intimate association between Krishna and Uddhava? I don't know. But that's not still answering your question. Okay. When the association took place, yeah, between Krishna and Uddhava. See, as to,
so that is an intimate process of teaching.
Yeah. I know I have to do more reading. I don't have the answer. Right. Any other comments, questions? Have spiritual masters, okay? When the spiritual master comes in the physical presence, spiritual master here, we fall over each other to want to serve the spiritual master. And the spiritual master is gone, and it's like we don't get that kind of enthusiasm to follow instructions. We go about our own ways. But in Vani Seva, we got to really stick to the instructions and show just as much enthusiasm. Krishna is everything. That's what Mataji commented. Without Krishna, the whole world is in darkness. No sun will shine. Okay, thank you very much. Krantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.